right now, to me, it feels like the most bullish time ever. But the price doesn't match up with that. We're not at new all-time highs. We're not ripping higher. And to me, that mismatch between the insanely bullish feeling I have based on all of the incredible stuff that's happening and the contrastingly kind of like, quote, bearish price action. Like, we're still hovering right around, like, we're a rounding error away from 100K, right? So it's not like, yeah, like, Bitcoin's not dead. Like, zoom out, guys, chill. But there is a contrast. There's a mismatch there. There's a sentiment mismatch. And so to me, that just screams, like, opportunity. This is when you need to be stacking as hard as you possibly can. Because for some reason, people just aren't seeing what is obvious to some of us. And if it is obvious to you right now, and you're looking at this like, how the hell could you be bearish right now? How the hell could you not be stacking as much as you can right now? Then you're in the minority. Congratulations. You're awake right now, but you have an opportunity. There is an information asymmetry right now, yep, that you can take advantage of, because Bitcoin will continue to go higher. It will, because, and it's not even Bitcoin going higher. Bitcoin's just staying the same. Fiat's just being debased everywhere, always, all the time, forever, until they go to zero. You know that's going to happen. And if you know that that's going to happen and you're aware of Bitcoin, you are like doing yourself a disservice if you are not stacking right. Greetings and salutations, my fellow plebs. My name is Walker, and this is a Bitcoin After Dark emergency broadcast on the Bitcoin Podcast. Well, it's actually a rebroadcast, because I've been doing some impromptu live streams late at night, and I figured I might as well release them as standard episodes for anyone who was not up late enough to catch the live streams. Because while everyone else seems to be bearish right now, I am insanely bullish, and I hope these rants make you a little bullish too. I've had guests for each of these rants so far, and we'll have more guests and more rants in the future, so make sure to head to the show notes to check out the guest links and give them a follow. And while you're there, check out my sponsor links and referral codes so that I can keep making the Bitcoin Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Blockware. What if you could lower your tax bill and stack Bitcoin at the same time? Well, with Blockware, you can. New U.S. tax rules let miners write off 100% of their mining hardware in a single year, earn Bitcoin daily while saving big come tax season. Get started at mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin and use the code TITCOIN to get $100 off your first miner when using the Blockware marketplace. Now, this is not tax advice from me, so go speak with the team at Blockware to learn more. Again, that's mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Without further ado, let's get into this Bitcoin After Dark emergency broadcast. Sentiment's like pretty bad right now, huh? What are we at right now? What's the fiat cuckbuck price of Bitcoin? We are at about 95,918 infinitely printable warmongering petroleum fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin. And that is really bearish, apparently. I'm not sure. That's what I've been told. Let's see if this is also streaming live on other platforms. Apparently I made it to Nostr. Let's see. For those of you who aren't yet on Nostr, you probably should be, because if you were on there, honestly, you wouldn't even know that Bitcoin was, quote, crashing right now. You would just be living your life and having a wonderful time. But sadly, you're not on Nostr, and so you don't know that. Let's see what's happening. I clearly need to update the label of this on Nostr. I wonder if this is live on YouTube right now. I'm honestly not sure. It says no, but, well, I thought I did. Well, fuck YouTube anyway. So, that's that. How's everybody doing? You guys feeling fearful? Anxious? Is there blood in the streets? Is some of it your own? I don't know. I'm feeling okay right now, honestly. What I realized is the amount of fear or like potential, you know, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, that I have when Bitcoin dips, like it kind of just went away. Like the longer that I have been just DCAing into Bitcoin, the less of any sort of worry I feel anytime Bitcoin dips. Like there's, I did a fantastic rip with Nico from Simply Bitcoin the other day on the Bitcoin podcast. He was talking about this idea of Bitcoin Zen, and I really loved it because it's this idea that, you know, once you've been DCAing for long enough, you just really look at any Bitcoin dip as like, well, this is just what a gift, right? What an amazing gift. I get, yeah, Bitcoin's down, but that's fantastic. My infinitely printable US dollars are going to go farther now. I'm going to get more Bitcoin for each of my infinitely printable dollars. Like, this is a very undeniably good thing. And I feel like the reason the sentiment is so broadly bad right now, I mean, granted, like not just Bitcoin is dipping, right? Like equities are dipping too. I don't know if you look at like the S&P and that kind of shit, which apparently some people do. Apparently that's not like doing super well either. But like, who fucking cares? You know? Like at the end of the day, here we sit. The year is 2025. Bitcoin is still a teenager. Hasn't really been around that long. You had incredible news this past week with Square announcing Bitcoin being available to 4 million plus merchants to accept Bitcoin payments. The fact that they're using Bitcoin rails as well, even to process USD payments, which is super cool. You have Cash App also, another one of Jack Dorsey's within that Block umbrella doing really cool shit. You had all this incredible news. You had even like the Czech fucking central bank announced that they had bought Bitcoin as part of some like experiment, right? And I don't think it was just Bitcoin. They did some weird like stablecoin deposit thing. I don't know. I didn't look into it that much, but I know that they bought like a little bit of Bitcoin, right? Not a crazy amount, but a little bit. And it's like, that's a fucking central bank doing that. It appears the Czech central bank is like quite a lot more based than most central banks also, which is kind of, I guess, cool. Like they're still central bankers, but like, I don't know. They're the skinniest kid at fat camp, I guess, in terms of central bankers. So that's kind of neat. But yeah, I don't know. I figured I would come on here right now. You know, my beautiful wife is asleep. Our son is asleep. So I'm like, well, it's Friday. I'm not even drunk this time, guys. Like I'm sober as a bird right now. Usually if I was hopping on a live stream like this late at night, I would probably have the excuse of being a bit inebriated, but I don't even have that right now. I'm quite well hydrated, actually, not even drunk at all. So that's fantastic. It just felt like the right time to come on here and chat with you guys. And I hope that this is actually streaming various places. Maybe it is. It looks like it's on X. I think it's on Noster. Should probably blast that out farther afield on Noster so that people actually see it and, you know, hop in here. But yeah, it felt like it was the time to come on here because I see so much incredibly bearish sentiment. And I think a lot of it comes from people, like a lot of the bearish sentiment that you see generally on X, a lot of that is from, quote, crypto people who are way underexposed to Bitcoin and way overexposed to whatever shitcoins they happen to be trading that particular day. And like, that's 100% on them, you know, like maybe you just shouldn't be trading shitcoins. I don't know, like call it crazy. You could just have been stacking Bitcoin and not been a fucking degenerate, but unfortunately, you decided that like Bitcoin wasn't good enough. The 55% CAGR wasn't good enough for you. You needed something better than that. You know, you needed something more. And that's just kind of like kind of pathetic, right? At the end of the day, because it's like, what else do you need besides Bitcoin when it comes like for the average person from an investment standpoint? Like you really just don't need anything else, right? You have this incredible asset that also happens to be like an unstoppable, unfuckable medium of exchange, right? Nobody can screw you over. Nobody can stop you from using Bitcoin. And it's also a, you know, pristine store of value, right? But ultimately, like, it is also peer-to-peer electronic cash in the sense that you can give it to somebody else pseudonymously or anonymously if you protect yourself well enough. And nobody knows. And more importantly, nobody can stop you from doing it. Like we have this incredible, incredible tool. And some of you are out there being degenerates with shitcoins. And I understand, because when I ignored Bitcoin for the first time I've ignored Bitcoin longer than I've been stacking Bitcoin. I ignored Bitcoin for the first time in 2014. A buddy was buying something off the Silk Road. You may have heard of it. And he was like, "Hey, Walker, I'm getting things off of this website. Have you heard of these like Bitcoins? I have to buy these Bitcoins to transact on this website. Do you know anything about this?" I'm like, "I don't fucking know what you're talking about, dude. Like, whatever, nerd." Back to whatever fiat shit I was doing. So that was the first time I ignored it. And then 2017 rolls around. It's like the height of the blow off top. Like, I managed to just time the top absolutely perfectly. Just bought like the Pico top. But I didn't buy Bitcoin even, which would have been fine. Like now, you know, like if I would have bought Bitcoin then. But I didn't have much cash. And so I was like, "Well, I don't have very much cash. I'll just buy a few of these Litecoins because they're less expensive than Bitcoin, and maybe they'll be worth as much as Bitcoin someday." And it's like Litecoin still has not even made it back to that 2017 top, which is just, at least I don't think they have. I don't know. I haven't checked the price in a while. Just pathetic, right? So that's why I have a lot of empathy for people who start or who look at Bitcoin and say, "Well, I can't afford a full Bitcoin." And they don't do any more research than that. They just think, I can't buy a fraction of Bitcoin, whatever. They don't even know that exists. They don't know Satoshis exists or bits, however you'd like to call them these days. So I empathize with that. But the point being that the people who do know that, the people who do know that you can just buy a fraction of Bitcoin, the people that have been actually paying attention to Bitcoin for a while, but instead of just, to paraphrase Adele, staying humble and stacking sats, trying to focus on their craft and create value and stack Bitcoin on the side to eventually retire their bloodline. And by retire, I think retire your bloodline, this is a sidebar, but retire your bloodline is kind of like an interesting thing. Like, you don't want to just have a bunch of retired people, right? Like, retiring is what makes you like slow and lazy. Like, you want people to have the option within your bloodline to do what they want, but still be productive members of society. I digress. The point being, if you're aware of Bitcoin, like you're steeped in this, you've been on, you know, crypto Twitter, crypto X, whatever, for a while, and you just still decide to be a degenerate and trade these shit coins and get absolutely wrecked at times like these. Like, if you own spot Bitcoin right now, and let's say you just started stacking spot Bitcoin at the all-time high, right at the all-time high, that's when you decided to finally pull the trigger and start stacking Bitcoin. Like, I feel for you because you're down a little bit right now, right? We've gone from whatever 125 or 126 infinitely print, 126,000 infinitely printable fiat cuck bucks per Bitcoin down to, like, let's see right now, 96,000. So that's a decent little haircut, right? But you still own spot Bitcoin. I mean, at least hopefully you get a UTXO that's big enough, transfer it to your cold storage, and you actually own Bitcoin. You own something that nobody can take away from you. You own something once you have those 12 or 24 words, you have something that nobody can take from you, no matter how much force they try to exert. There's a great quote from Julian Assange. It's like, no amount of violence can solve a math problem. And I just think that's beautiful. Also, just sidebar here. We're going to do a lot of sidebars. Thanks everyone who I see that we now have some people live on various chats. I'm going to share this out on Nostr as well. If you're not on Nostr, like I highly encourage you to check out Nostr. This is right now streaming on Nostr. Apparently it's only streaming via the Titcoin account. I don't know. I don't know why. Sometimes things just don't exactly work the way they're supposed to. I don't make the rules. Moral of the story being, you should check out Nostr. But if you're not a Nostr, that's okay too. I'll forgive you. You'll be there eventually, hopefully before you desperately need it. But thank you to everybody who's joining on other mediums. I see some of you have said this is working. I see somebody else said, "Nice, I'm a retard." That's sweet. I'm a retard too. Obviously, I said so right at the beginning. If you are watching this, I wonder how many times you can say retard before YouTube kicks you off. Should we find out? I think we're probably going to. I think we just might. They will probably kick me off soon enough. If you are watching this, wherever you're watching this, go ahead and give it a share. You do not have to like and subscribe. I think that's only a thing on YouTube. So feel free to not like and not subscribe, unless you want to. Bitcoin doesn't really care. I don't really care either, honestly. I kind of fucking hate YouTube. How many times can you say retard and I hate YouTube and YouTube's retarded before YouTube will just cut your live stream? We are going to find out tonight, guys. Again, I digress. But if you do want to share this stream, feel free to. That'd be neat, I guess. If you want to subscribe on YouTube so that more normies see this show, that's cool too. I recommend you check out this show on Fountain. They do not pay me to say that. Fountain is a Bitcoin and Nostr podcasting app. They do not pay me to say that. I actually pay them to host my show on Fountain. So you know that I mean it when I say you should check out Fountain. Point being, YouTube's a bit retarded. But you know what? YouTube's also top of the funnel. And the reason that I have a podcast in the first place and the reason that you should probably start a podcast too is that you can actually reach outside of the echo chamber a little bit. But that's really hard to do because YouTube's algorithm is a fickle bitch, apparently. And I am just terrible at catering to that algorithm. But it is what it is, right? Okay, back to shitcoiners. And I want to, maybe something else, I'm just going to keep digressing, then we're eventually going to bring it back full circle. This is the weave, as Trump calls it, you know, the weave. Not nearly as good at weaving as him. He's quite a master at that. But your fellow Bitcoiners are not shitcoiners. I'd like to clarify that. With all of this fucking drama going on about Core and Knots, I'd like to clarify that your fellow Bitcoiners are not shitcoiners because they run a different node implementation than you, right? I think that all the Bitcoiners that I know, no matter what node implementation they run, they're people that I think are just awesome humans. And I'm glad to be in these Bitcoin trenches pushing back against this fiat panopticon that we find ourselves in together. So when I say shitcoiners, I don't mean a Bitcoiner who's running a different node implementation than you. Just want to be very clear there. What I mean is people who have decided to just be degenerates. And honestly, people who just buy shitcoins, I don't even view them as like the true shitcoiners. Like you're only a shitcoiner if you're pumping shitcoins. And especially if you're an insider pumping shitcoins. Like those are the real fucking just lowest of the low people. The people who decide that they're going to essentially do the most fiat thing possible, which is just create their own little shit, you know, fiat shitcoin, pretend that it has some sort of value or it does something better than Bitcoin, you know, blockchain, not Bitcoin, right? And, you know, you're going to pretend that Lightning doesn't exist, pretend that eCash doesn't exist, pretend of all these things, just basically remain, you know, purposefully ignorant of all the reasons why your shitcoin is completely obsolete, and you're going to try to pump it to unsuspecting retail. Like I think the XRP people are the fucking worst of the worst when it comes to this. Like they are just the absolute fucking worst. And they're just everywhere, right? And they're just literally like central banker cucks. Like, oh, I swear this time, bro, JP Morgan's going to integrate XRP and it's just going to be fucking awesome, dude. And it's going to go to 100. And it's like, no, it's not, you fucking idiot. Like, you're just literally buying Brad Garlinghouse's bags, but whatever. I digress yet again. Okay, bring this back on topic. I swear I'm coming back now. People who are down bad on shitcoins are super bearish right now. If you're underexposed to Bitcoin, you are super, super bearish right now. Understandably so. Like, I would be bearish if I was underexposed to Bitcoin. But I'm like very, that group, irresponsibly long MSTR. Like, I'm responsibly long Bitcoin because being responsibly long Bitcoin means having as much fucking Bitcoin as you possibly can, like, and as little fiat as you can. Like, that's the responsible thing to do. Like, yeah, you should keep a little bit of fiat, like, in case you need stuff. And so, like, if you're me, like, you know, your wife is not like, hey, why is our checking account at zero again? And I'm like, sorry, baby. Luckily, she's very understanding and she will literally be the one who's like, did you, like, set limit orders for the, you know, in case it dips even further? And I'm like, yeah, I totally did, babe. Like, let me just do that right now. It's so good she's not watching this right now. She's peacefully asleep, as is our son. But if you are underexposed to Bitcoin, I can understand why you'd be a little freaked out right now. If you are viewing this as a stacking opportunity, an opportunity to get a little bit more Bitcoin right now for your dollars, like your dollar right now goes farther than it did yesterday. And like, I think Bitcoin's been down for like 12 straight days or something, just been like chopping right down. And you know what? Every day my DCA buys just a little bit more. I think that's kind of an awesome thing. Honestly, it's like, I like when my infinitely printable fiat cuck bucks, buy me a little bit more Bitcoin. That's like, that's a good day for me. And I'm reminded of the why am I hodling? And yes, it, for anyone listening, it is hodling, not hodling. And you can literally watch a video of the guy who inadvertently created one of the most epic Bitcoin memes saying it. And even he says hodling, like, cause he's literally talking about holding, but he misspelled it as hodling. So like, I just don't understand. And I get that American hodl identifies as hodl. That's totally fine. I respect that, but it is hodling. Case closed. But maybe it's worthwhile just reading that for those who aren't aware or think that it, first of all, hodl does not mean hold on for dear life. I don't know who told you that. It was probably like CNBC, but they're wrong. But the actual meme, and you know, maybe I'll just pop this on screen. Let's see here. Can I get this up on screen? I need my producer, Jamie. Where are you at? Can we pull that up? No? Okay, we'll see. We'll see. But this guy really just, I mean, there's a reason it became one of the most epic memes ever, right? Like he captured the zeitgeist. Okay. Let's see. Here it is. I am hodling. I typed that title twice because I knew it was wrong the first time. Still wrong. Whatever. GF's out at a lesbian bar. I don't have a GF. I do have a beautiful wife who is currently snugly asleep in our bed. Our little son is asleep in our crib. But, and maybe, I wonder if this guy married his girlfriend. Again, I digress. BTC crashing. Why am I hodling? Holding. Actually, he said holding this time. Why am I holding? I'll tell you why. It's because I'm a bad trader, and I know I'm a bad trader. Yeah, you good traders can spot the highs and the lows. Pit pat. Piffy wing wong wang, just like that, and make a milli no bucks, no problem, bro. Likewise, the weak hands are like, oh no, it's going down, I'm gonna sell, hey, hey, hey. And then they're like, oh god, my asshole, when the smart traders, who know what the fuck they're doing, buy back in, but you know what, I'm not part of that group. When the traders buy back in, I'm already part of the market capital. So guess who you're cheating, day traders, not me, exclamation point. Those taunt threads saying, oh, you should have sold. Yeah, no shit. No shit I should have sold. I should have sold moments before every sell and bought moments before every buy. But you know what? Not everybody is as cool as you. You only sell in a bear market if you're a good day trader or an illusioned noob. The people in between hold. In a zero-sum game such as this, traders can only take your money if you sell. So I've had some whiskey. Actually, in the bottle it's spelled whiskey. Whatever, sue me, but only if it's payable in BTC. What a fucking legend. And also, like, this is kind of like, the reason this is so beautiful is because it still rings true. Like, everybody has felt this. Like, I'm a terrible trader, right? I dabble in some of the, like with like a inconsequential amount of money, dabble in some of the, you know, the Bitcoin treasury companies and whatnot, because I like to remind myself of what a shitty trader I am. Like, I like to get wrecked just a little bit. So it's like, oh, you know what? I should have just bought Bitcoin. Or if I do outperform like a little bit over a low time frame and manage to convert some of it into Bitcoin, it's like, wow, I just spent way much, like so much more time than I should have paying attention to the charts of things that aren't Bitcoin when I could have just been like living my life or doing something productive or focusing my craft or spending time with my family. But instead I like wasted all this time trying to eke out a couple extra percentage points on top of the best performing asset in the, like, the fucking history of the world. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll just beat Bitcoin. Like, no, you're just not going to beat Bitcoin. Like, some people will. Some people are good traders, like some just super autists. Like, I'm not autistic enough to be a truly good trader. I'm a bad trader. And so are you, most likely. I'm sorry if that hurts. And if you're listening to this right now, you're like, I'm not a bad trader. I'm like a fucking good trader. Like, I can spot the highs and the lows, pit pop, piffy, wing, wang, wong. Like, you're probably not. You're probably not. You're probably going to get wrecked. And even if you do well, like, did you do well in dollar terms or did you do well in Bitcoin terms? Because they're very different things. And if you're not beating out Bitcoin, like, what is the fucking point? Like, literally, what is the point? There is no point. And like, if you're not beating Bitcoin by a ridiculous margin, there's very much no point. You would need to be absolutely crushing Bitcoin's returns for it to be worth your time. But the reality is that you probably won't. And also, like, I don't know, man. It's like, what's the point of that? Like, you can just set a DCA for Bitcoin. You can just set an hourly, a daily, a weekly, or all three. Hell, why not? Multiple of all three. I don't know. You can save in Bitcoin. You can focus on creating value in some way. Hopefully that's by starting a podcast. As we all know, starting a podcast is the highest form of value creation one could ever attain. And you should be starting a Bitcoin podcast. If you're listening to this right now, if you're up at, for me, it's 11:30 p.m. on a Friday night, listening to me rant on a live stream, you should be starting a podcast. You should be hosting a competing live stream right now. Maybe we should be live streaming together. I don't know. But you could be creating value that way. And in the background, you could just be automatically DCAing Bitcoin. And I think a lot of you are. Like, if you are one of the psychopaths who is listening to this right now, first of all, cheers for being here. Thank you for being here. I'm really glad that you are. I'm really glad that you are. And what's up, Nathan? I see you. I see you in the comments there. How you doing, man? But if you are listening to this right now, you are probably one of the psychopaths who has just been DCAing in the background. Like, you're probably one of the psychopaths who has just been silently, quietly accumulating Bitcoin and going about your life, spending time with your family. Like, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Also, Nathan, I'm about to drop you the link for this, man. You can jump in here if you want to. Why not? Let's just open it. Let's open it right up. But like, that's all you have to do. You should look at this as a beautiful opportunity to stack more corn. You should not be viewing it as like, oh, this is the fucking end of the world. I was promised Valhalla like this year. You know, all my favorite Caps Lock Moon boys told me Bitcoin was going to at least 444,000 and all I got was BIP 444. No, man, it's going to be okay. It's going to be just fine. Bitcoin is going to do what Bitcoin's going to do. At the moment, like, this is the funny thing about human psychology, and I don't pretend to understand fucking human psychology. I don't pretend to really understand. The moment that you think you've got it figured out, the moment that you're like, you know what, I just need to sell and I'll buy back lower, man. That is the moment where Bitcoin just takes your face, rips it off and wears it and puts it on its face. You know, it puts your face on Bitcoin, puts your face on Bitcoin's face. And it's like, you see, motherfucker, I fucking got you. And that's going to happen every single time. Like that very moment, you know. It's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that, like, you know, the cliches about investing or trading or whatever, like it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. Like, they're cliches for a reason. They're cliches because they're true. They're cliches because it's really good advice. Like, you shouldn't try to out trade. You shouldn't try to, you know, figure out the market. You shouldn't try to time this thing. You should just stack spot Bitcoin via dollar cost average and fucking live your life. That is the best thing that you could ever do. And that is the beauty of Bitcoin too, because you shouldn't have to be fucking watching charts all the time. You shouldn't have to be a master investor just to get by. That is like the biggest fucking, biggest like con that fiat has pulled on us. The biggest, like, just honestly ripoff is that somehow fiat has convinced everyone that you need to be, not only, you know, do you need to like, you need to work and your wife needs to work and maybe, you know, like you need to work like multiple jobs and like you need to work jobs just like at least one, you know, both of you need to work just so that one of your salaries can go entirely just to spending, you know, spending it on your kids' childcare, like, which just doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, you know, but okay, I digress. So many digressions. I apologize, guys. But like the biggest con that fiat has pulled is that everyone needs to be like to have two jobs, right? You need to have your job stacking fiat, which is always depreciating, but because it's always depreciating, because you're constantly getting debased by a fucking cartel, a cabal of central bankers who have absolute control over the monetary system, because you're constantly being debased, you have to have a second job. Or maybe it's your third because you already have two. Maybe it's your fourth because you already have three. I don't know. But you need to have another job, which is trying to invest to beat the rate of inflation, right? You have to spend so much time, an inordinate amount of time, just trying to keep pace with or beat inflation, just trying to keep your head above water so that the fruits of your labor are not debased to oblivion, are not inflated to oblivion. Bitcoin completely changes that paradigm because you no longer have to spend all this time trying to figure out how you're going to beat the fiat debasement. It's Bitcoin. That's the answer. You just stack Bitcoin. You just set a DCA. And when Bitcoin dips a little bit, maybe you smash buy a little bit, you know, get a little crazy. But that's all you have to do. That's it. Like you don't have to do anything crazy. You don't have to be a genius trader. You don't have to do anything besides just stack Bitcoin. And that's really hard, I think, for a lot of people. It's hard because we've been told that you have to do all these things. That you have to be this expert trader, right? That you have to be this genius, you know, who's able to. Oh, and what's, hold on, we've got Nathan in the lobby right now. I love this. An impromptu live stream that turns into a Bitcoin podcasting party. We're letting Nathan in here. Nathan, what's up, dude?
I was in the middle of cleaning and I was like, oh, Walker's live. Oh my goodness. Let's check this out. Let's see what's going on here. And you know, I got to say,
let me throw my wired, my sick wired headphones. How many extra?
Do it up.
Oh, thank God. My MacBook Pro has some extra ports here. Let's throw these in there. I've been trying to use wired headphones so I don't get baked by Bluetooth as much.
No, fair enough. I'm too bad with my earbuds all the time. You know what?
They're not even working,
24/7.
So fuck me.
Oh, we'll make them work. We'll find our way there. I'm just happy to see that you're hanging out live. Goddamn equipment. This is it. Fuck it. We'll do it live, right?
We'll do it fucking live. You hearing extra reverb on my side?
No, you sound clear as day to me. You sound absolutely gorgeous, wonderful, that deep baritone voice. I'm so envious of your mic. I still have not upgraded mine yet, and I've just been eyeing yours this whole time.
That way, are you talking microphones or voices?
Microphone. Well, both. Both are actually absolutely wonderful, but that SM7B?
Yeah, it's sick.
Every time I go to buy one, it's like, no, I got to do other things. I got to put it in Bitcoin. I'm hoping Christmas will be nice to me.
I believe that it will. I believe that it will. And let's see if I can get this hooked up. If not, as long as you're not hearing reverb, then honestly, it's all good by me. I just want to make sure that I'm not giving you a little double. So, you know, I'm not a live streamer, right? It's not my thing. But tonight, the wife was in bed. The kid was in bed. And I was like, let me just pop on here and just see what happens. And now look at this. Now we've got a little podconf going on. And great, I'm hearing you through the AirPod. I'm baking my noodle a little bit with this Bluetooth. It's fantastic. I don't know, man. How are you doing? So the reason I wanted to hop on here is because I figured there were probably some other, you know, psychopaths like me who are up late on a Friday night.
Yep.
Who are not out at the bar or doing something like that, who are like, you know what, just thinking about Bitcoin and maybe scrolling on X or scrolling on Noster and thinking, man, everybody's super bearish right now, but I'll be honest, I'm just really weirdly bullish right now. I don't know about you. Like, you feel that?
I'm kind of with you in the same sense that just like something doesn't feel quite right. And it feels so anticlimactic as well, too. Also, just the mood and the tenor for where we are. It's like, guys, it was so much worse in 2022. Like, there's nothing to be upset about. Be patient. Be calm. And you know what it is? It's like I'm unbelievably bullish on Bitcoin. I wrote a newsletter about this actually this morning as well, too. I'm temporarily – I think this is a phase. I'm temporarily actually bearish on Bitcoin culture, which is why I was so excited to see that you were live streaming. It's like, yes, this is exactly what I needed right now. Where I almost get the sense that from the ETFs and the derivatives and the treasury companies and all these things too, that we kind of got soft from our own victory in the sense that like – when I came into Bitcoin, it got wrapped up in my identity very quickly, right? I identified with the people and the culture and everything that was going on there. There was this monetary revolution of basically like cypherpunk pirates. And it was like, oh, I want to be on their team. I'm here to change the world. This sounds absolutely amazing to me. But with the success over maybe like the last year with the institutional adoption, it just became another asset in people's portfolios. No one identifies or has like a culture behind S&P 500, right? Or commodities futures, like it doesn't matter, and so I found myself wondering why did retail not get in here? And I mean, James Check had some great great insight, and we both talked to him with regards to there were other alternatives in terms of like number go up technology. But I think a part of it is just like the inspiring characters that we have in Bitcoin, that like sense of freedom and hope and optimism. There's kind of like winning the mainstream and the institutional side kind of I think took the, let me say, we got soft in our victory. And then additionally too, with the favorable conditions in the Trump administration, the way things are kind of going as well too, it's almost like we needed an adversary to be that inspirational kind of like underdog story. And I think that's why it feels like it feels like a weird bear market, but I think it's just because we don't have our people here necessarily rallying, or the newcomers. Like, I don't really think I've met anybody that's like a class of 2025.
Dude, honestly, that's a really great point. And also, I'd just like to point out that apparently X has – I don't know if X kicked me off the live stream or if the live stream just died, but it looks like it's still live on YouTube, which is –
definitely still live on YouTube.
Okay, which is good. You know, man, I'm just not good at this live streaming thing. I swear I didn't piss off the X gods. I just I don't know. I guess apparently maybe – I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did, Nathan. But you're absolutely right. Like something – There's a weird vibe to things right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think a lot of it is the institutional side of things, where it's like everybody thought like, wow, these Bitcoin treasury companies and everything, they're buying so much Bitcoin. And it's like, but then it's like one OG whale sells 80,000 coins and that just like wipes out every Bitcoin treasury company buy except for Strategy, right? Like, which is like people, I think that people don't entirely realize. And like also OG whale selling is like a good thing. Like the distribution of coins is a very good thing. Like that is a healthy thing. That's what's going to naturally happen. But it's uncomfortable for people because they're like, why number not go up faster? And it's like, well, because there's guys with tens of thousands of coins who have held them for, 15 years who are selling now. And they're selling way more coins than the treasury companies are buying. And yeah, plebs like you and I are having our DCA buy us a few more sats. And we're like, yeah. But like for a lot of people, like, it's an interesting point about like not knowing about class of 2025 people, but I'm wondering also, it's like maybe class 2025 people just like, they're just not on, they're not on X or they're not on Nostr or whatever. Yeah. Like they're not as vocal. Maybe they're just silently stacking. And right now, maybe they're feeling some pain. I don't know. Maybe they are here on YouTube. Maybe they're here watching this stream right now because they can't be watching it on X anymore, apparently, because X just kicked me off. these sons of bitches. But yeah, I don't know. Vibes are weird, but I'm just feeling bullish. Like, I can't help it. What if you could lower your tax bill and stack Bitcoin at the same time? Well, by mining Bitcoin with Blockware, you can. New tax guidelines from the Big Beautiful Bill allow American miners to write off 100% of the cost of their mining hardware in a single tax year. That is right, a 100% write-off. So if you have $100,000 in capital gains or income, you can purchase $100,000 worth of miners and offset it entirely. Blockware's mining as a service enables you to start mining right now without lifting a finger. Blockware handles everything from securing the miners to sourcing low-cost power to configuring the mining pool. They do it all. You get to stack Bitcoin at a discount every single day, while also saving big come tax season. Get started today by going to mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Again, that's mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Use the code titcoin to get $100 off your first miner when using the Blockware marketplace. Of course, none of this is tax advice from me. Go speak with the team at Blockware to learn more. One more time, that is mining.blockwaresolutions.com/titcoin. Wish you could access cash without selling your Bitcoin? Ledin makes that possible. The global leader in Bitcoin-backed lending, Ledin has issued over $10 billion in loans since 2018 and has a perfect record of protecting client assets. Why is a Ledin loan different? Well, with custodied loans, collateral is not lent out to generate interest. No credit checks, no monthly payments. Apply in minutes and repay whenever you want, with zero penalties. And proof of reserves reports verified by a top accounting firm are published every 6 months. Ledin gives Bitcoin holders a secure, transparent way to unlock liquidity without selling. Learn more at ledin.io/walker. That's ledin.io/walker. Hey everyone, quick word from my sponsor, Blockstream. Right now through the end of 2025, they are running their biggest sale yet, 21% off every Blockstream Jade hardware wallet. No code needed. This is the lowest price you'll see all year on the most trusted Bitcoin-only hardware wallet on the planet. Bitcoiners will always tell you, not your keys, not your coins, because they've seen exchange after exchange fail over the years and rug people of their funds. Having a hardware wallet means you never have to worry about that happening to you. Blockstream Jade is the simplest, most secure way to protect your Bitcoin, whether you're brand new or a hardcore stacker. Its sleek, low-profile design, full-color display, and dead simple setup lets you secure your sats in minutes. As your stack grows, Jade scales with you, air-gapped setup, fully functional QR mode with the built-in camera, native multi-sig support, and tons more advanced features. Head to store.blockstream.com right now. The 21% holiday discount is live now through December 31st, and you can use coupon code WALKER for an additional 10% off. Stock is limited at these prices, and once they're gone, they are gone. Secure your wealth today before the next leg up. Grab your Jade today at store.blockstream.com and rest easy like Satoshi intended. Now, back to the show.
I agree. It's funny how it's, for the longest time, like coins being centralized, like, oh, it's only controlled by a handful of people, was the FUD. And now that those are being distributed, which is like the wonderful free market in action, it's now that's the new FUD, right? The whales are selling. It's like the whales are holding or the whales are selling. Like, pick one, guys. What's the issue here? This is always going to be the natural progression. And it, for me, I think actually one of the most bullish things about this is the death of the four-year cycle narrative, because I think things just don't become exciting again until they're not predictable. Right. If everyone feels like they know what's going to happen and we're going to get the same rally into the end of the year, it loses its mystery. People have to feel like there's a chance that it's going to rock it up, or like they don't know what's necessarily going to happen next for it to get exciting again. It has to be adventurous.
I kind of like that. Like people are like, who was, I think it was, I forget if it was, I was talking to American Hoddle, but he was like, or maybe it was Nico. I don't remember. Multiple people have said this to me, but like, look, we're all just addicted to dopamine. Like that's what it comes down to. Like everyone here is addicted to dopamine. And you know what? That's like when the dopamine doesn't hit hard enough, that's why. Like Bitcoin is not pumping hard enough for you. It's somehow boring to you, even though it's sitting at 95,000 fiat cuck bucks per coin. And it's like you're just addicted to dopamine. Like you just want that hard hitting, that insanely hard hitting rally, right? But you're just not getting it, and so you're like, "Well, fuck this! Like, I don't know. I'm bored with this. I'm bearish. Like, all of a sudden, but it's like nothing has changed. Like, this is actually like such an insanely bullish week, with just everything happening with Square. Square and Cash App. Like, for medium of exchange wise, this was an insanely bullish week. But here, people are just like more bearish than ever, which is just I don't know, man. It's like.
The volatility was always supposed to be the volatility was always supposed to be the icing, the cherry on top. It was a nice thing that came with it, but there's all this meaning in this mission behind it, and it goes back to like that idea I had kind of around culture, in the sense that you're right, that like it's like they only came for the sugar, right? It's like no, that like that's the fun part. That's fun. We love the dopamine. We love the giant crash. We love the giant rally up as well too. But you're right. What Jack Dorsey and Square and Cash App did this week is massive, and not even just from medium of exchange. The cultural significance, like the psychological significance of seeing that Bitcoin logo on every fucking terminal, all the way through.
You can swear. You can say fucking.
Thank you. I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, crap. I got to pull my punches.
I was saying retard a lot earlier, and I was like,
I'm so glad that word's back.
And I was like, if I say YouTube retarded, is that going to get me kicked off? Like, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Like, we'll find out. But yeah, continue.
No, you're right in the sense that, like, we're absolutely winning on some of the most critical points, too. And you can even look at kind of like the reverse side of the coin, too. And like the whole issue with like the 50-year mortgages and Canada's looking at UBI. It's like you can look at the positives of what Bitcoin's going to do, and you can look at the negatives of what fiat's about to do. And either way, it's kind of a win. So being bearish here is just – it's just you're not getting your dopamine fixed. But there's so much more that's available, too, right? And you've got great builders in the space coming up with awesome stuff all the time as well, too, right? Like there's – I've got tech to report on every week because somebody's building something phenomenal, right? It's a weird time. It's a weird vibe, but I think it's just because you're right. We have maybe we were a dopamine addicted crowd, and we lost our fix there for a little bit. So everyone's just kind of hurting and finding their new base. We might have to get some go through some withdrawals on this one. Maybe it is like post eat gold ETF, right? Where it's just this kind of slow grind up over the next 10 years, which would not be exciting, which would be totally appropriate and kind of normal as well, too. So maybe we just got to adjust to a different sort of lifestyle. I think that's okay.
I think Chuck made it someone who talks about this a lot, like the idea that like Bitcoin's just going to like bore you to a million. You know, it's just going to
Like, you're gonna be bored the whole time. Then all of a sudden, it's gonna be like, oh shit, that's like I guess we're at a million right now. Okay, well, okay, there we go. We're there. Fine. Like, and I feel like that is kind of like the vibe of what's happening right now. It's just everyone is kind of getting a little complacent, getting a little bit like, okay, well, I guess this was the worst bull run in history. And it's like, I just don't think the bull run has even started yet. Yeah. You know, like, I don't even think we're there yet. I think that we're just right in the early innings. And it's interesting what you brought up about the 4-year cycle, because there's been so much debate about this, right? Like, that's like, it's honestly become like almost its own cliche at this point. Like, you know, the 4-year cycles are dead, but like, are they dead? But like, did they ever exist? Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm a little torn on this. Part of me just thinks that, like, yes, obviously, the halvings have an impact on new supply entering, but they also have a diminishing impact, right? Halvings will, like, necessarily have a diminishing impact. But by the same token, like, the fiat price of Bitcoin at each halving, like, keeps going up. So, like, okay, they have, like, a diminishing Bitcoin impact, but they have, like, also an increasing fiat impact. So, like, that's tough to quantify, right? Like the block reward now of 3.125 Bitcoin is worth so much more than the 50 Bitcoin block reward back in the day. But, you know, it's still a diminishing impact in terms of the Bitcoin, and exponentially so. But I don't know. It just feels like in the prior cycles, first of all, they happen to line up with elections. I don't know if that's purposeful.
Agreed.
Or not. Like, U.S. elections, at least, and like a lot of world elections, but they happen to line up with elections. They've happened to coincide with kind of fiat liquidity cycles as well. Okay, and then, but like, as we go forward, it's like, but what if those, like, okay, elections are going to keep going, right? We're going to keep kind of lining up with elections, but like fiat liquidity cycles, I don't know, man. Like, we were Bitcoin was pumping during Biden, as they had the Fed went into some of the biggest monetary tightening, relatively speaking, in history. So, like, that kind of breaks a little bit of the paradigm there. Like, monetary conditions were tightening, and yet Bitcoin was pumping. So, like, how does that work? And now it's like they're loosening and Bitcoin's dipping. So, like, okay. But then it's like, I just come back to, like, on a long enough time frame, Bitcoin is just going to beat the pants off of absolutely everything else. And that's why I feel this just general sense of zen right now, because it's like, yes, am I watching, you know, the fiat value of my stack fluctuate wildly? Sure. But I know what I hold. Like, I know that I have Bitcoin. Like, I have real Bitcoin. I have it in self-custody. I have it in multi-sig, right? Like, I can't even spend it if I want it to without doing a lot of traveling. Like, let's just say that. Like, I've got to do a lot of work to be able to spend any Bitcoin. Maybe too much work, honestly. It's really difficult. But I was like, I want to make it so that if somebody ever comes and tries to put a gun to my head, like, there's nothing I can do. It'll take a long time. Also, I'll have a gun to your head first, motherfucker. Shit. Nathan, is this the kind of stuff that gets me kicked off of YouTube? I don't even know. I hope not.
You're totally fine.
Metaphorically, also, and or figuratively. So
in Minecraft,
cool, right?
I remember with Tom Luongo, he was always like, "We're going to kill the politicians in Minecraft, not a game. The game, not real life." He always throw that like little prefix at the end there too. The only thing I ever got in trouble from was actually someone telling their previous stories of like abuse, and I think that there's a little bit of touch of stories of self harm as well too, without using those words particularly. That was the only one that I think ever saw I got flagged on the back end for me, but. No, I think you're absolutely right. It's funny because this is my idiot pleb opinion, but as you were talking there, the thing that kind of struck me, and I forget what this effect is called, but it's something regarding like having perceived value because it had value yesterday. Like the reason that you think your money is going to have value tomorrow, or people accept that money has value tomorrow, is because it had money yesterday. It's always this kind of rear-facing effect. And so it can decline slowly over time, but like, you know, $100 is good today. It's probably going to be somewhat close to that tomorrow, just based on recent memory of it too. And I wonder how much of the 4-year cycle was just an echo of the early days. Because you're right. In the early days, the mining subsidy meant a lot more in terms of the, again, stock to flow, right? Again, stupid model, but the idea is still there in terms of the available supply, what's coming on, and who the big sellers are. The sellers are coming from miners. Miners are the ones that are mostly selling, I think, at that point in time. And so I wonder how much of like, it had an effect, maybe cycle one, maybe cycle two as well too, but it was almost like just a psychological echo of just like it happened for the early people for the first point, so they just continued to it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It was just a psychological effect, and that's why it's dwindling over time, even more so than the subsidy decreasing or in tandem with it, that it was just that was the expectations. And then as we go forward, that just declines and declines and declines until it's no longer the expectation.
Yeah, I mean, what's that one saying? It's like happiness is like expectations minus reality, or something to that effect. And I think that kind of like that plays into the psychology here, where like if you think that like you were really sure that Bitcoin was just going to melt faces, like, and it was going to be, you know, it was going to be October and Moonvember and all of these things. And now it's like Bitcoin's down from when Trump got in, from Trump's inauguration, I think, which is kind of wild, right?
Back to the beginning.
But really, but like, you know, I'm looking at like, I opened an account on River, like, I think just before Trump's, just before Trump got elected. I'm not sponsored by River, just like their product. It's a solid product.
If they'd like to, if they're listening, I'm sure you'd take it.
Yeah, you know, but if you're listening to this, yeah, please. I will take some sats, especially right now, you know. But I started stacking that, and it's like, I look at my Bitcoin return. It's like flat, or like even like, yep, down a little bit now. Because I was also like, when Bitcoin like popped up and then starts like, you know, to like 126 and like it dropped down to 110, I'm like, yeah, smash buy. And now it's like with drop down to, you know, 95, and I'm like, I'm really low on fiat. Like, I do not have very much fiat. I like not having a lot of fiat. That said, it's like, damn, when the dip keeps dipping, you're like, I wish I had a little bit more fiat. But at the same time, yeah, again, like, where you get hurt is not where it's like, oh, you know what? I wish I had a little bit more fiat. I'm like, you know, I'm quote overexposed to Bitcoin right now. It's like, no, that's not really like where you get wrecked. Where you get wrecked is if you were underexposed to Bitcoin, yep, and you were overexposed to non-Bitcoin things or some sort of synthetic Bitcoin. And now you're like, shit, I'm down in dollar terms and I'm down in Bitcoin terms even more. That's the dangerous position to be in. Like, if your Bitcoin stack is down a little bit in dollar terms, like, it's okay. They're going to keep printing dollars. Like, there's 21 million Bitcoin. That's it. There's literally infinite dollars. And it's not just infinite dollars. There's infinite euros. There's really infinite. There's double infinity Turkish lira and Argentinian pesos and all these others. Like, you know, the dollar sucks. The dollar's the worst except for all the rest. And it's a, you know, skinniest kid at fat camp, prettiest horse at the glue factory, whatever you want to say. But like, where you get hurt is when you are underexposed to Bitcoin, overexposed to other shit. And so not only do you not have any sort of quote dry powder, but you also just are down bad in dollar terms. You're down really bad in Bitcoin terms. And I think that's where, like, clearly, like, one thing that this, I haven't been around Bitcoin that long, like, it's just been since 2020 that I started stacking. But like, one thing that I've realized this kind of cycle time around is that, man, the like quote crypto people are super short Bitcoin. Like, they are long all of their shit coins, and they are way short Bitcoin, and they're freaking out because that's the worst position to be in. It's like, you've got big shit coin bags and nobody's coming to buy them, man. Like, that party's just over. Like, there's not going to be any giant alt season. Like, I'm sorry to break it to you. Like, you're wrecked right now. Like, you may as well cut your losses, sell whatever shit coins you happen to have, and try to get as much Bitcoin as you possibly can, because that is what, like, that's the only thing that's going to save you at this point. Like, it's not going to be your fart coin or your other shit coin. Like, it's going to be Bitcoin. But like, a lot of people just like, they got to learn the hard way, right? And that sucks. But like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, it's the reality.
I completely agree. The unfortunate thing there too, and it's it kind of goes back to the culture a little bit too, is that, at least from what I can see from the brief times that are like float through like crypto Twitter or some of the shitcoin stuff that's going on there, there tends to be, because the toxic Bitcoin maximalist, there is kind of a like an anti-Bitcoin stack, which unfortunately it's just letting their ego get in the way. And then you're right, they're super, because they're like taking these crypto positions and having a stack of Bitcoin, they're going short Bitcoin and going long all these crypto things thinking it's going to die, and it's just going to get at the wreck. But I wanted to ask you, Walker, because for me this time around, so if you would have asked me in September particularly if I thought that it was going to be up at the end of the year, I absolutely would have told you, like, yeah, I bet you we're finishing up at the end of the year. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little run. But here's the thing, and I'll see if I can articulate clearly. I would have logically told you that, like, yeah, if I was betting, that's what I expect. I did not have an emotional swing the cycle at all. Like, I did not have an, like, I emotionally felt like it, you know what I mean? I knew that it was going to run up, or I felt excitement about going into November and these things too. Like, this end of year I would have logically deduced that it was going to be up, but I don't even feel surprised or shocked that it's down. I'm wondering if you had the same sort of response. Whereas back in like the, what is it, the 2021 run, I was pumped. I used line of credit at the top of that fucking thing. My wife thought I was an idiot. Eventually, we found our way back to that one, but I was like ready to go. This time, it was like, yeah, I think it's going to be up. But like, you couldn't have talked me into taking like a 2% loan. It's like, no, I'm good. I'll just keep stacking the old fashioned way. There was no, I had no excitement going into the end of the year, despite thinking logically it would go up.
I feel exactly that. Like I also thought like, I was like, yeah, like we're probably going to, this feels like we're going to kind of keep pumping into the end of the year and continue going. But I don't know, something felt like off a little bit. Like did my behavior change drastically? Like, no, like I kept DCAing like, because that's what I do again. Like I'm not good at buying. If I saw a little bit of a dip, if I had some spare fiat, I did a little smash buy, you know, but like I love my DCA, just does it without me having to do anything. Like it's fantastic. And just kind of kept that going. And like now where we're at though, where it's like, oh wow, I didn't necessarily think we were going to drop down here, but like, since we are, okay, I'm going to kind of redouble my efforts, try to like cut expenses as I can in my life. And like try to stack a little bit of extra Bitcoin, because if there, again, I've really, I guess only been around, if we're going by the cycle theory, like I started stacking like during COVID, right?
Yeah.
That was, you know, when I started stacking. I didn't have like a giant mountain of cash that I dumped into Bitcoin. It was like I started just DCAing then too, right?
Yeah.
But man, when Bitcoin went down to like 16K, I was like, I gotta, you know, like gotta try and like get as many sats as I can,
yeah.
Right? And like that's kind of what it feels like right now a little bit.
Yep.
This feels to me like more like, oh wow, we took a bigger dip than people thought we would. And that means because everyone else is super fucking bearish right now, yep, or just like not even bearish, just like maybe not even paying attention. Like still, that's the other thing. Like most of the world still isn't even paying attention, Nathan. Like most of the world still.
Dude, I just looked at Google Trends. It's like all time low for the year.
Most people just don't care. Right. Like, but that's the other thing. It's like that meme of like, you know, the two stands, right? And it's like, you know, Bitcoin at like whatever low number, then Bitcoin at all time highs. And it's like everybody's lined up to buy it when it's at, you know, an all time high. And like, it's true. Like something about human psychology is like, people don't want to buy Bitcoin when they definitely should. And yep, they really want to buy Bitcoin when it's melting everyone's faces off, because that's when it pops, yep, up in the news again. But when it's bearish, everyone who doesn't own Bitcoin is like, well, it's a good thing I didn't buy, you know, again,
right?
You know, like I'm glad I've ignored that since it was $10,000 or, you know, worse. But like, it just feels right now. And again, like maybe we go lower. Maybe we go back to 58K gang. Cause 58K
I was gonna
is
say,
I don't know. Maybe
bring
the
it 50, back.
Like, well, honestly, like as rough as that would be, like, and that would be rough. That would be an incredible stacking opportunity. Cause that's
well,
the thing, like, if you know, it's going to keep going up. It is like, there's 21 million guys. There's 21 million Bitcoin. There's infinite fiat currencies, not just infinite dollars, infinite other fiat currencies. There's infinite shitcoins. There's infinite all of these fucking made up fucking things. But there is 21 million Bitcoin. You don't have to be a genius to work this out. Like you can be far left curve or far, you know, right side of the bell curve. Like as long as you're not mid curving it, you're going to be okay. Just like more Bitcoin, good. Like that is like that is what you need, you know. But again, it's like maybe like this is kind of the opportunity too. Like for the psychopaths who are out there watching this stream right now, for the people who are out there watching their DCAs hit and trying to figure out how they can maybe cut some expenses around the house to you know be able to stack a few more sats. Like you will be rewarded for this.
Yep.
You will be rewarded for this, and it may suck right now, but you know fast forward a little bit, fast forward a year, fast forward 4 years, fast forward 20 years, and boy, like you will be thanking yourself. You know, your children and your grandchildren will be like, wow, you know, fucking legend. Like you know, you doubled down. You didn't get that extra avocado toast and you stacked the extra sats with it. And now what could have been avocado toast now buys us a French villa. Like fantastic, grandpapa. Like that's where you're going to be at right now. Like probably legitimately, like I bet the price of an avocado toast right now, if you go forward 50 years, I bet that buys you a modest French villa in sats.
It's going to be insane.
Denominated in sats.
Like, yep. It's going to be absolutely insane. It's funny. There's a couple things you hit on there that I want to get your thoughts on. One was I was trying to think back something. You were talking about 58K and that gang, and that's what it reminded me of. The last time I had an emotional response in Bitcoin, and again, I'm a very level person by my very nature, not very high, very low. Like, don't get stressed out. I'm very, very comfortable here. The last time I was like, oh, this feels good, was the final Don't Stop Believing. When we hit 100K and Yellow's final, like, spaces, I just remember being like, actually, like, hit the heartstrings a little bit. I was like, man, he did this the entire way through. So going back to like 58K and going back to those times, I would not have an issue with. That was a lot of fun on Twitter for sure. And then the other thing that struck me that I'm curious your thoughts on was you mentioned COVID. I wonder if that's kind of a little bit what's going on here in the sense like that is like borrowing from the future and pulling forward demand too, right? I wonder if COVID was such a shock to the system and to people as well too. Like we talked about how it would wake up a lot of people and it did wake up a ton, right? I wonder if we almost like pulled forward Bitcoin or demand. Like we had a greater influx of Bitcoiners because of the extremes of COVID, but it meant there wasn't really a new class to come in later on. Do you kind of get what I'm saying?
That like, No, go ahead.
That's essentially the idea that like, I wonder if you were going to wake up to it with it, if you weren't going to wake up to it with how bad things were over COVID, you really weren't going to wake up to it unless something worse comes along later or something else kicks you in the teeth. So it was almost like we reached forward in time and grabbed a whole bunch of Bitcoiners. But that might have been the vast majority of those that were possible to unplug over the next 5 years, which is why it feels different now where I'm feeling like we're not getting this new cohort coming in. We might have already scooped them up because that was such a terrible wake-up call for people across the world.
Okay, so that's interesting, and I feel that sentiment, but like to play devil's advocate there, it's also like
let's do it.
We're still at such an early stage of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
We're still so incredibly early. Now, I think that the argument is fair that perhaps that woke up more like hardcore, toxic Bitcoin maximalist early adopters, innovators. I think we're technically like still at the innovator phase, right? Like we're barely at like maybe, I don't know, like you could say we're at like a percent adoption, probably not even. And like total addressable market wise, like there's Jesse Myers Crosius has that great chart that's been shared everywhere, $1,000 trillion in global asset value, 2 trillion or less than 2 trillion now, in Bitcoin, just under 2 trillion. So it's like 0.2% of total addressable asset value. That's nothing. And like total adoption wise in terms of like globally, like, I don't know, probably not even a percent, like maybe a half a percent of like, and probably even less than that of people who actually like hold their own keys.
Yeah. I think James said he estimated like 2 million. It's like that sounds about right to me.
And that's
8 billion. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Like, which is just crazy. But I think that's your statement is fair in the sense that perhaps COVID woke, like it certainly, did for me, speaking from personal experience, like very much woke me up. And like, that's what made me decide to actually go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and figure out, because they started sending out checks to people. I'm like, what is this? Where does this money come from? And then you start asking the right questions. But maybe, how? And it's like, we just like that. We just make it. We just print it digitally. It's amazing. But maybe that did bring out a lot more of the hardcore toxic Bitcoin maximalist plebs that we're going to come out eventually, but just like a lot of us just came out at once. And now there's just a little bit more of a trickle. And maybe the rest of the adoption curve just looks a bit different. Like it just looks, and it's also like, I was talking to Alex Fedsky about this, and he brought up the fact that he's like, look, like when it comes to adoption curves, like Bitcoin's not the iPhone. Like it's not like, it's not a consumer product. It's like, it's different. Like it's money. And he made the point that when it's the iPhone, it's like your potential, loss there with, buying an iPhone is like, well, it's like, whatever, a couple hundred, 500, a thousand, whatever dollars.
Yeah.
Like with Bitcoin, it's like everything for you.
Yeah.
For most of us, like that, like the cost of being wrong is much, much higher. Like the cost of being wrong about an iPhone is pretty low, relatively speaking.
You'll recover.
And so the adoption curve, maybe it just like, we don't know what the adoption curve looks like. We know what technology adoption curves generally look like, that classic S curve, but we've never had something like Bitcoin. Like, what is the adoption curve of a digital gold that's also way better than gold because you can transfer it instantly 24/7, 365, and no one can stop you to anyone around the world. And there's a absolutely, completely, programmatically enforced finite supply to it. Like, what does that adoption curve look like? I don't know, because we've never seen it. How could we know? So like, maybe it's just one of those things like all your models are broken. We have no fucking clue. And the best thing we can do is, I mean, Odell hits the nail right on the head, like stay humble, stack sats, and focus on your craft. Start a Bitcoin podcast, you know,
whatever, absolutely,
whatever you want to do. But yeah, like that's the thing, like maybe all of our priors just don't really work that well. Like Bitcoin is repricing the entire world.
Yeah.
We've never had anything like this before. How much hubris do we have to assume that we can figure out exactly what this is going to look like? Like we can't. We can guess, but like we're probably going to be wrong. And we may, like directionally we're right, right? Like we know Bitcoin goes up and to the right. Bitcoin is repricing everything. Everything else is trending to zero in terms of Bitcoin. The marginal cost of production is trending to zero in terms of Bitcoin for everything.
Yep.
But what does the timescale of that look like? I don't know. Like how long does it take for the masses to wake up to this?
Or do they?
I don't know.
That's the other thought process
ever?
Too.
Or do they ever? Yeah. Or does it just become the water they swim in, the air that they breathe eventually? They don't even know it. It's just the rails they use. But they don't actually, you know, they never actually wake up to it. It just becomes, you know, part of their life.
I don't think it's unreasonable to think like it is the base layer. So it's not an unreasonable adoption strategy to have it at some point in time, some kind of monetary breakdown where just like treasuries move between commercial banks, that Bitcoin's moving between commercial banks. And that sort of sense, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, their transactions are being settled in Bitcoin between banks around the world, but they're not directly sending UTXOs. Like I actually think I think it's reasonable in 10 years' time. The fact that we actually did on-chain transactions will probably be a rarity. Like, we'll be one of those weirdos that had like a phone they were putting on a modem to connect to the internet, right? I don't think that most people are going to interact on base layer. And so that really opens up a lot of possibilities in terms of what adoption is going to look like. Like, even right now with what Square and Cash App are doing, right? Are people I would not be surprised for a long time that people are still thinking in fiat terms. They're still using like the dollar as the unit of account, but it's going over lightning rails in between because it's just better infrastructure, right? It's just got that final settlement aspect that we might see adoption from the producer side, from the provider side, but it really is being used as the value communication network for larger sums of value, right? Most people might not ever hold on to direct Bitcoin. They really might not, and it's not the situation that I want people to be in, right? And I'm very excited about like Arc and Spark and Lightning and everything that we got going off of these layer twos to scale it out there. But at least transitionally, I do think it'll be a long time before that, because the psychological importance of a unit of account is really hard to get past, right? To actually start pricing in something else. And we're already starting to see it, but you see it in the large scale buys. Like particularly I hear people talk about it comparing to real estate, right? And that makes sense. Like for most people, their home is like the biggest asset that they'll ever own. So comparing the largest asset you own to your Bitcoin stack, that makes sense. My house is going down in Bitcoin terms. But I think it'll be quite a while before people really start thinking about like the classic cup of coffee in that sort of sense. So you're right. We have no idea what adoption is going to look like. And I think it's too simplistic and kind of naive to think it's going to look like it is right now, but for everybody, if that kind of makes sense. Like most people will probably start using it, and not even on like the ETF, or it's like in some sort of like mutual fund or something, or some sort of investment vehicle. They'll probably start using it, not necessarily knowing that they're using it. Like how many people are using the internet but have no idea what they're using it, but they use it all the time, right? But as far as they know, they're just going to Facebook.
Yeah, what's TCP/IP? I have no idea. You know, like
exactly.
they don't know. Like and that's like that's okay. They don't necessarily need to know. Again, it's like it's the air they breathe, it's the water that they swim in. And I think that's fair, and that's why like some of these. Again, we were, you know, you mentioned it as well, but these incredibly bullish developments are with Square and with Cash App, like, and I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of like negativity about this too, being like, why are people sucking Cash App's dick about this? Like, this is, you know, like, this isn't as good as it should be or something. And it's like, guys, like zoom out a little bit. Like,
yeah.
4 million plus merchants just got the potential to turn on Bitcoin acceptance. Really easily, without them downloading anything else, without them doing anything else, they got the ability to be able to convert proceeds into Bitcoin.
Yep.
Like it's just like this is insanely, insanely bullish, and at the same time, it's like price action doesn't seem to match up with that. Like you know, if you think, I feel like back in like 2020, 2021, if something like this would have happened, if Square was like, we just turned on Bitcoin for 4 million merchants, and Cash App's like, yeah, we're just using Bitcoin as like to settle Bitcoin or USD. Like, fuck it. it would have just been like people would have been losing their minds. And as it is now, people are like, eh, okay. Like, I don't really
remember Tesla, right? Like Elon could move the price up or down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's like, that's the crazy thing. It's like now the Czech National Bank's like, yeah, we bought some Bitcoin because we're trying this out. And people are like, yeah, okay, big deal. It's like, that's kind of like, but that's like a good sign too, right? It's like these insanely bullish narratives don't actually materially impact the price at all. And like, but neither do potentially bearish narrative. Like there are no bearish narratives realistically. Like that's just like there's nothing you could tell me that would make me bearish on Bitcoin long-term. Like there, like nothing, like literally, you know, nothing. Unless like, again, you were like, well, we just like quantum's already been cracked. All your coins are fun. But it's like, no, it's just like not happening. Like everyone wants to quantum FUD. And it's like, yeah, like, okay, like eventually, but like, we're going to, you know, that's the beauty is like, we have time to prepare for that.
Yep.
But
I can send you a new wallet. I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And but like right now, to me, it's like one of the most, it feels like the most bullish time ever. But the price doesn't match up with that. We're not at new all-time highs. We're not ripping higher. And to me, that mismatch between the insanely bullish feeling I have based on all of the incredible stuff that's happening and the contrastingly kind of like, quote, bearish price action. Like we're still hovering like right around, like we're a rounding error away from 100K, right? So it's not like, like Bitcoin's not dead. Like zoom out, guys, chill. But there is a contrast. There's a mismatch there. There's a sentiment mismatch. And so to me, that just screams like opportunity. Like this is when you need to be stacking as hard as you possibly can. Because for some reason, people just aren't seeing what is obvious to some of us. And if it is obvious to you right now and you're looking at this like, how the hell could you be bearish right now? How the hell could you not be stacking as much as you can right now? Then like you're in the minority. Congratulations. You're awake right now. You are and you're like literally awake listening to this stream. So even better. But you have an opportunity. Like there is an information asymmetry right now that you can take advantage of because Bitcoin will continue to go higher. Like it will. Because and it's not even Bitcoin going higher. Bitcoin's just staying the same. Fiat's just being debased everywhere, always, all the time, forever, until they go to zero. You know that's going to happen. And if you know that that's going to happen and you're aware of Bitcoin, you are like doing yourself a disservice if you are not stacking right now. Like I'm just happy whenever I like see the DCA went off, I'm like, huzzah, like there we go. Okay, more sats for me. Like what a great day, you know? Like, I don't know. It's wild. It seems like an opportunity right now. That's what it feels like to me. And again, maybe we go lower. Not financial advice. Like I don't give financial advice. I give monetary advice, right? Ooh. This is monetary advice. Like Bitcoin is the best money that humanity has ever invented, discovered, whatever you want to say. There's 21 million forever. There's infinite fiat forever. Do the fucking math. This isn't that complicated. You just have to stack sats. Like you just have to keep stacking sats and it's all going to be okay. And if you don't do that, everything's going to get more expensive for you forever. And if you do stack sats, everything's going to get cheaper for you forever. That's it. That's the whole thing. Case closed. Like, I don't know. I think like, there's no reason to overcomplicate it. That's just this is just reality.
It's the, there's a few wonderful things to pull in there. One, the information asymmetry, I completely agree. So like first and foremost, I would say like if you walk into a room of 1,000 people and ask them if they've heard of Bitcoin, probably everybody has heard of Bitcoin. If you ask them to explain the difficulty adjustment and it's not a Bitcoin event, probably nobody can, right? Yep. They are aware of it. The brand name is out there, but they still have no idea what it necessarily is. And it's kind of this like unfortunate catch 22 where people are so – like I heard you ranting about it a bit earlier too, like – we're so far removed from where we should be. We have one person out there working, one person taking care of the home. You have some free time on the weekends. You can study. You can read. You can better yourselves. People are so trapped in the fiat minds. They don't have time to learn or think about anything else. They're so short-sighted that even the idea of trying to like hold on to something for 4 years seems unattainable or like away from them right now, right? And as Bitcoin fixes things slowly under the surface, they might have that opportunity. They might have their chance. There's a couple things there. One is this idea. Like I like the – have you ever heard the idea of a preference cascade?
Sounds vaguely familiar, but please re-educate me. Put me in a re-education camp.
I will absolutely put in a re-education camp. It's a like an explanation of what happened with like the Soviet Union and the fall of the Soviet Union in the sense
so
that
re-education
like,
camp was a spot on very good comment.
It's the idea that basically like you'll have an entire population of people that will voice one thing publicly but think something else privately. Right, and they're not aware that they can socially come out and say the truth. And as soon as it's like socially acceptable, it looks like everybody changed their mind overnight. But really, what happened was they all started speaking what they really thought. And so, as the fiat system continues to get worse, as things continue to accelerate, or decelerate, however you want to put it, you're going to start to see that kind of stack up in the background as well too. Like we're still very tribal, both in Canada and the U.S. Right? It's like Democrat, Republican, like conservative, liberal, and people are very stuck in their tribes. But as neither one can fix things going forward, as things only get worse, you'll have that discontent kind of sitting in the background that there's something wrong with the system. And I think it's like those kind of watershed moments, like going even go back to COVID, where you have a large people go like, hold up, regardless of what's going on here, someone's lying to me, this isn't right. And you'll get that kind of public shift where people are comfortable talking about like, yeah, why am I being debased like this? Why can't I afford anything? And they'll actually have that hunger to learn, to understand. And you'll see that a lot of people are going to need to be socially acceptable. And I think that's why we get you got the euphoria in previous cycles too, right? Because all the hype. There's all the hype going on. If there's no hype, it's not socially acceptable or cool or interesting to be into Bitcoin right now. It's just not, right? Exactly to your point. Like I'm seeing co-host Gary on Twitter. They're arguing people that are dunking on him. He's like, yeah, no worries, buddy. If you want to learn about it, I'm happy to teach you about it. And I'll see you in a couple of years, right? Yeah. We're currently not the cool kids at the table. It's AI. And therefore, it's even where your money goes to some extent is a popularity contest. We just don't have that social – we don't have the low enough social barrier for, unfortunately, the vast majority of people to be interested or into it.
It's a really good point around AI specifically. And the irony there, of course, is that AI is an incredibly deflationary force.
Oh, right? My God, yeah.
It's the most deflationary, technological industrial revolution. Like the industrial revolution was insanely deflationary, right?
Yep.
And like every technological revolution is super deflationary. That's a good thing, right? Like that's a good thing for people. Deflation's not the boogeyman. Deflation is a good thing when it's technologically yep. driven, and the natural state of a free market is deflation. As if you've read Jeff Booth's Price of Tomorrow, which you should, you would know that. But AI is just that on steroids, right? Like and the irony being for the people that are so focused on AI, but like ignoring Bitcoin is it's like, what kind of money do you think is going to actually work in a deflationary world? You need a deflationary money, right? You need a money with fixed supply. Fiat inflation does not it does not work with technologically driven hyper deflation, right?
Yep.
Those two don't match up, because that just means for fiat to continue working, you have to keep printing. This is like Lynn Alden's, nothing stops this train, right? Fiscal dominance, like you have to keep printing. And if you if technology is driving costs down even faster than you can print, that's not a good situation. Like then the whole house of cards collapses.
Yep.
Like you need Bitcoin in this situation, but like so many of them don't see it. And so again, like even the people who are at the forefront who see what's happening with AI, so many of them still are so hyper-focused on that they don't see like what is necessarily going to need to be the new bedrock, the new base layer of this system, which is Bitcoin. Like there's just nothing else. And like it's certainly not going to be gold, right? Gold has done super well for like 5,000 years. Gold's been on a tear recently, but it's like gold, there's a reason that gold, we got off the gold standard and all these things. It's like gold doesn't work in the information age. It just doesn't. It can't. It's been great for 5,000 years, but it's like it's the money of the past, not the money of the future, right? It's sound money, yes. Feel free to buy gold if you want to. Gold is still, a heck of a lot better than fiat or anything else out there. But in a hyper-deflationary, technologically driven deflationary world, you need Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And also, it's like very obvious, like what are AI agents going to want? Like if we achieve artificial general intelligence, like, what's an AGI going to want in exchange for its compute? Well, it's going to want Bitcoin. Like, because everything else is just credit, right? But again, information asymmetry there. Like, most people just still don't get that.
They don't realize that productivity is going to destroy the system. Like, that's the the whole issue there, in the sense that – because most people don't realize that the money is a debt-based money, meaning that if you pay back the loan or you default on the loan because AI put you out of business, that is destruction, right? That is destroying currency units that are currently in the system. And the other thing I think that people really sleep on that too – and again, like you, with the Industrial Revolution, like I would make the – this is a fun topic. I would make the argument that slavery held back the Industrial Revolution, because why would you invest in labor-saving devices when you have free labor, right? In that same sort of vein, like, it was still a very net positive that people like lost jobs to Industrial Revolution and new technologies moving forward. We gained more productivity. And again, your wealth is never dollar. Your wealth isn't Bitcoin. I think people forget this as well too. You don't actually want Bitcoin. It's just the best money to give you the things that you do want in the future, right? It's the medium to get there. It's not the thing that you actually consume. But even looking at the AI thing, there are so many jobs – in particular, in the managerial class that are on the table, that are on the chopping block. And the reason being is that the way that I kind of have it framed up is, if you're an employee for a business, you're kind of working in the present. If you're an entrepreneur, right, or like kind of that C-suite level, you tend to be looking at the future, right? And that's kind of creativity. It's things that may not exist yet, so it's not something that AI can use because it doesn't have rear-facing data. But if you're in a managerial role, that tends to be looking at the past, looking at your past data, whether it's logistics or distributions or sales or whatever it is, and then making plans or stocking up for the future. So you can take an extreme example of someone who's like a distribution manager, right? Well, historically, you had to look at the data and go like, okay, I think these stores are going to need these items come the Christmas season. Like, those jobs are all gone. If you have rear-facing data-focused jobs, that's the kind of stuff that the large language models, the AI, can really power through. But as hard as that transition is going to be, and as deflationary as that transition is going to be, think of how much intelligence, like human capital, is currently fucking around on Wall Street trying to make trades just a fraction of a second faster, offering no value to anybody else because that's the money spigot. That's where their energy is being put. If you take those people and you unleash that entrepreneurial force on the world, like, my God, I was promised flying cars and Fiat is fucking taking them away from me. And I just know that if we can get this thing on the right path, they're coming.
It's such a good point. Like, so many of the brightest minds have, instead of going into engineering or medicine, yep, or like things that actually matter, they've just gone into finance. And like, yeah, not that there aren't valuable things that you can do in the financial world. Obviously, mm-hmm, there are. But the over-financialization of everything based on the broken incentives of fiat is what is the problem. Like, yep, just so much time and energy and so much brain power that could be focused on really important problems is just focused on financial engineering that's not, yep, actually creating any real value. And there is financial engineering that can create value, right? Not, yep, saying that. Again, this is not like a binary thing. It's just that I think any reasonable person can admit that we have way, 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 let's say there's the incentives being broken has forced or caused so many more people to go and pursue careers in basically just financial vaporware, right? Instead of actually doing something that is for the betterment of humanity. And not that, you know, like, not that you need to have like some high and mighty goal. Like, you're like, not everyone's an Elon Musk who's trying to make us an interplanetary species, right? But like, generally doing something that is in, if the incentives are aligned, if the money is sound, doing something that is in your best interest, that provides value and that other people want to pay you for, is going to be in everyone's best interest. But like, when, yeah, the incentives are broken because the money is broken, doing something that's in your best interest is not necessarily in everyone's interest. Like, because you're just playing these weird financialized games, right? And like, I don't know, it's a shame, but it's one of the things that gives me so much hope about Bitcoin is like, also, so many of these financial engineering jobs are just going to be obsoleted by AI, right? You already have Saylor being like, yeah, I just invented new financial products by vibe coding basically with AI, right? Like, yep, you know, like doing the work of a whole team of you know, investment bankers that are, you know, fresh out of college, making, you know, $500,000 a year. Like, nope, just Saylor and his AI. Like,
yep, it's absolutely beautiful. Like, to that point, it's the when the incentives are aligned on a wonderful sound money standard, the way that you become like stinking fucking rich is by offering value to the most amount of people. The only way in that system that you come out on top is by scaling and offering value to as many people as possible. Even on the flip side, I was thinking too of the like the brain power that's being sucked away into basically non-productive aspects, we'll say, of finance and just playing fiat contillionaire games. There's also the other side too, where how many potentially – like it's the seen versus the unseen, the classic Austrian stuff, right? How many people in a sound money system would have gone on to create a great invention or a great business or a great service, but they're so stuck in the daily grind and so trapped by having to make their existing payments? You got it in the other flip side as well too, where the other people that are struggling that can't save and get ahead and therefore don't have that opportunity to start that great idea that they actually had that actually was a great idea, right? There's so much that gets lost because everyone's just trying to stay afloat or get close to the money printer.
And it's actually like it's such a sad thing. Like, and I think actually like Seyfedin's new book is The Gold Standard is kind of an exploration. I've not read it yet. I imagine it's probably pretty darn good. But it's I believe it's like a bit of a novel as well. Like, right. It's like, the idea is like,
it's a work what of fiction.
Happened? Yeah. Like what would have happened if you know, like we didn't leave the gold standard, right? Like if we figured that out. And it is kind of crazy to think about like what does the world look like on a sound money standard for an extended period of time in the digital age? Like, again, we don't know yet because we don't have one. Like some people, like the future is here. We're living in the future right now. Those who are listening to this right now are living in the future. If you're saving in Bitcoin, you're already on a sound money standard. So you know what it's like for you, but what does that look like at scale? What does that look like for everyone? What does that look like when the whole world is operating in that way? And again, that's going to take like a lot of time. Like that's going to take like a long time. Like, I don't know if we even see that. Like I think maybe our kids do.
I say we might touch it. Yeah, it might be like grandkids or something.
Yeah, and like you know we'll be like 90 some years. We'll be like, I fucking told you so. We were right, you know. But I don't know. It's wild to think about. Like, and it gives me a lot of hope for the future. And so yes, even when Bitcoin is you know crashing down to now 96,431 fiat cuckbucks, infinitely printable fiat cuckbucks per Bitcoin, I'm still just so incredibly bullish on the future. Because it's like we don't even know how good things could get, and they're going to get really messy in the mid, like the in between
transition.
Right? It's not going to be pretty,
no, nope.
Undeniably. But what comes out on the other side, like we're not building right now for ourselves, right? We're building for the next generations, and that's I think something that like fiat forces you to be so high time preference. Like so much, I mean, and I don't mean it. I know a lot of really good boomers, right? I know a lot of great Bitcoin boomers.
It's a cliche for a reason.
But the boomers, like, it's kind of just like a, they just basically, it's just like, oh, well, fuck the younger generation. You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Just buy your house for a couple of bushels of raspberries like I did, and it'll be worth $5 million. You know, like.
It was so much worse than that because it was hypocritical as well, too. It was like they took the lessons of the greatest generation, and like, you got to save, you got to work hard, and these things, too. But then they didn't apply them to themselves, but they gave the rules to us. Like, we're just going to have, like, pensions that we can pay into, but we're going to get paid out of right away. And we're going to get all this entitlement spending and everything, too. But you guys are the issue that aren't working hard enough. There's a reason that it stings so much more. Because it'd be one thing if they were just, like, kind of hippies and like, no, let's just go full socialism. But they preach one thing and then have enacted another as a collective. Couldn't judge people as a collective. I'm well aware, but there's a reason that cliche exists for a reason. And there's still a problem in terms of a voting demographic. Like in Canada, my God, it's awful. You can actually see that like the younger generations have skewed conservative, which again, voting's not going to save you. Vote harder. We already know this. But
right.
Just to get a read of the room, the only reason that we have the twice central banker, once I think was in the running for head of the IMF, running our current countrymen now into the fucking ground for the benefit of Europe, is because it's all the boomers. You can see it's like 50 plus is all that's voting for him. And me in the one day free state of Alberta here, like the election's decided before it gets to us. Our vote does not matter at all.
Yeah. I am all about a free Alberta. Mm-hmm. I think that the more I've learned about Alberta because of all the based Bitcoiners I know from Alberta, I'm like, fuck yeah, Alberta. Like, yeah, yep. Like you, yeah, that you get out of the rest of Canada. Like, you know, like they're not doing you any favors, clearly.
No,
like,
it's not a non-zero chance to. I even saw just today. So we had so to give you a quick idea, the last budget that came out was $60 billion, which again is just, you know, pocket change for the U.S., but it was basically 50% higher than what it was supposed to be, and the previous finance minister resigned hours before because she was not going to present it. Now, in all fairness, she's a terrible, like, Davos, like, hangs out with George Soros type, so she's not a good person either, but she resigned and refused to present it. The bill that they just dropped, the budget they just dropped, and it's for this year, by the way. We're in November, but the budget just came out now, was $78 billion, going up to $79 billion. But the thing that I saw this evening was that there's a whole bunch of like infrastructure projects, because of course there are. We're going to do a bunch of infrastructure projects. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere except Alberta. There's not a single one in Alberta. There's a bunch in BC and Ontario and Quebec. Not a fucking project for Alberta. We are the redheaded stepchild.
Even though like it's Alberta's resources that are basically like, funding yep. everything, which is just
and
like
our source of U.S. dollars coming in. Yep.
Yep. I mean, again, just like insane. And that's the thing, like the solution to our woes, whether wherever you are in the world, whether it be the United States or Canada or the soon to be free state of Alberta or in Europe or in Asia or South America or Africa, it doesn't matter where it is. Like government is not going to solve your problems. If government could solve your problems, we wouldn't have problems. Right. Our problem is not that, oh, well, if we just give government a little more power, right? If we just let them govern us a bit harder, daddy, then it'll all be fixed. No, because if that worked, if giving the government more power would fix our problems, then there wouldn't be problems. Like this is not like a yeah. complicated thing, but that's not the case because giving the government more power makes things worse. It distorts the free market more and more and more. Everything the government does is extractive. They're not a productive institution. They're necessarily not. Everything they do is based on extraction through the threat of violence. And so, no, government is not going to save you. It can't. It cannot save you. Like yep. It is up to us to take the freedoms that we want to have because, again, the government can't give us any freedoms. They can enshrine rights. They can legally protect freedoms, but they can't give them to us. We already have the freedoms. We have to take them. And so, you know, how do we do that? Well, we do it by building parallel systems, right? Like yep. Bitcoiners are already doing that. We're already doing that just by the simple act of taking your infinitely printable fiat cuckbucks that you get in exchange for your time and energy and converting those to Bitcoin. You are already engaging in peaceful revolution against the state. Like you are subverting the state in the most peaceful, cooperative, voluntary way possible.
Yep.
And that's through Bitcoin. And also thank God that we have all of these other tools like Nostr, like eCash, like all of BitChat, all of these incredible like technologies that are out there, like Keet and Hole Punch, all these different peer-to-peer technologies that make me so bullish because we have the tools available to us
yep.
like to reclaim our freedoms in the digital age. We have the tools available to us to step outside of the fiat panopticon, right? But you have to use them. Like it doesn't work unless you use them.
Agreed. But you know, it's
most
funny.
People
one
are
thing,
still asleep there.
I completely agree, and I think they will be until it hurts enough. Unfortunately,
yep.
I think that's the
yep.
route that most people are going to go down. And on that note, too, like we just had Matt Hill on the show, and the holy shit, the stuff that he's building, you got to get him on. Like unbelievable. Like he's going straight for that sovereign computing and subverting the state. It's unbelievably exciting. But I want to go down that rabbit hole for a second. The thing I do want to touch on, because we're talking about like, why am I so bullish and why are you so bullish? And I kind of had the realization we're at an unfair advantage. We are really at an unfair advantage here, being that we are Bitcoin podcasters and everyone should become a Bitcoin podcaster, because the reason that I'm so unbelievably bullish is the people that I get to talk to in this space. Like if I'm ever having a moment of feeling down, like hanging out with you right now in the stream, I feel great. I'm energized. I'm good to go. Hanging out with the sessions team, we just went to the YYC meetup and had a BitDevs and had one of the guys from Lightning Labs in there. Like you cannot be bullish if you're hanging around other Bitcoiners. If you're feeling down right now, if the price is bothering you, that just means you're not spending enough time with Bitcoiners. Find the local meetup, because these are the most inspiring, energetic, they're the people that you want on your team. And my God, do they lift you up. I was hanging out, I was having a nice guys night evening with some fantastic Bitcoiners, one of which, another beautiful Alberta Bitcoiner, was Madex too, right?
Oh, and awesome, dude.
Awesome dude. You can't not feel inspired by these people. I'm hanging around with people that they give me like, okay, I got to do better. I can contribute more. I can go harder here. And in that sort of way, when you see everything that's being built, when you're around the people that are building it, when you're around people that see it, this will not faze you at all. 96434 will not faze you whatsoever.
Amen to that. The more time I spend with Bitcoiners, like mm-hmm. in the meat space especially, like when you're yeah. like that's one thing like people, you know, will say like, oh, there's too many Bitcoin podcasts, too many Bitcoin conferences. It's like, I don't know. I think we need more of both. Like I think it's good. I think people need as many opportunities as possible to be around and engage with other Bitcoiners, whether that be passively through listening to podcasts or actively through starting your own Bitcoin podcast, which you should, or actively through being around Bitcoiners at your local meetup or at a conference in the meet space. Like, there is nothing better than that. And when you're around people that are, like you said, like, you want to be better, right? You want to do more. You want to contribute more in whatever way we can, because we all have different skill sets, right? Like you and I aren't writing code, right? You know, but those who can't code, podcast. Like, this is, you know, as the old saying goes. But it's impossible to be bearish when you're exposed to all the incredible things that are going on, when you're exposed to all the incredible people. And that's one of the things that I realized as I started going to Bitcoin conferences was just like, holy shit, this is just the most inspiring group of individuals I've ever come across. Like, and it's so concentrated too. It's not just like, oh, here's the random inspiring individual amongst the crowd of Bitcoiners. It's like, no. Like, just about every Bitcoiner you meet, you will find some way to get inspired by them. And that's a really cool thing. And we're going to look back, you know, I don't know if you watched The Office, but there's that quote in there, like, I wish there was a way to know you were in the good old days when you're in them. And it's like, we're in them right now. Like, we're going to look back at this and be like, holy shit. Like, that was kind of wild, huh? Like, we're around these people that are building the future that we're all going to live in, or podcasting the future about the future that we're all going to live in. And I don't know. It's cool. And again, like, if you're feeling bearish right now, start a Bitcoin podcast. Start talking to more Bitcoiners. Go to your local meetup.
Go to a Bitcoin conference. Bitcoinpodcast.net/gear. That's Bitcoinpodcast.net/gear to get the full list of everything that you need to start a Bitcoin podcast today. And you will feel so much better. Because if nothing else, it doesn't matter if it amounts to anything financially. What it will do is give you a chance to meet other Bitcoiners, talk to the most interesting people in the world, have a fun, non-destructive hobby. You're going to absolutely love it, and you should do it. And on that note, too, I want to even point out that, like, I was just at the Canadian Bitcoin conference a couple weeks ago, and funny enough that, like, we're here now, because at that conference I was saying that, like, it felt like a bear market conference. Like, it was really, like, I was hanging out with the most amazing people. There was no Bitcoin curious. Everyone there was already the converted. So it was a fun time, but it felt very odd for where we were too. But it gave me the chance, like, I got to meet Brandon Gentile, and we had, like, the most amazing time hanging out. He gave a talk on homeschooling. I was sitting there taking notes. I'm like, oh, this dude's nailed it. Four kids, and they're just the most polite children. I'm like, just writing everything down as fast as I can. And it's those things that sustain you, that grow you as a person, that you learn something else new. Fuck, I was hanging out. I was out late too often. I got up every morning. I was there every morning for sure. But, like, I was hanging out late at a cigar lounge to close with Hoddle D, Steve Barber, and Mr. Dave Bradley, conspiring on how we can have Alberta independence, right? And those are the wonderful times. That's what resets the clock and makes you feel amazing.
Dude, that sounds like a good time. I need to make it to a Canadian Bitcoin conference. It's on my list. The timing has not worked out yet, but I need to make it there. I've got to say, before Bitcoin, I knew, like the Canadians, I knew I could count, like, on one hand. You know, even though, like, I'm from, like northern Wisconsin, so I'm like pretty close to Canada. But I still just, like, I knew very, very few Canadians. Like, through Bitcoin, I was like, holy shit! Like, Canadians are way more, or Bitcoin Canadian, you know, Canadian Bitcoiners are way, like, super based. Like, this is awesome. Now I know more, you know, Canadians that I can shake a stick at now, and they're all super based, which is amazing. But no, it is, like, the other thing about the vibes, like, when it's a quote bear market, or just when sentiment generally is bad, and you're at a conference, a Bitcoin conference, you'd have no idea that sentiment outside of that was bad, because the sentiment's never bad because the talk isn't about price. Like, and that's when that's actually when it's good, when it's not just all of the, like, macro moon boy opium stuff, right? When it's, like, actually, like, hey, here's what we're building. Here's the fucking cool shit we're doing. Like, the price doesn't even come up because we all know where it's going, and it's irrelevant, right? It's just about, hey, what are we doing? What are we building? How can we work together? Like, that's the shit that, like, gets you fired up to come back and podcast another day.
I got to tell you, so at the conference, there was one speech, and, like, you know, I often find myself, we look back on history and like wonder how these atrocities in like 1945 could ever occur. Like, how could everyone follow mean old Mr. Mustache? So Francis Pouliot from Bull Bitcoin got on stage and gave a presentation that was what he's doing to take over the world. Like, he literally gave a presentation on Bull Bitcoin's world domination plan. And like, absolutely, I was in the crowd just, yes, I totally get how people can be sucked into one of those people, because he is a Canadian-based motherfucker and unbelievably inspirational. You just want to follow him into battle.
He's an awesome dude. And that's the thing. It's like, man, it's hard to be bearish. Like, I can't be bearish knowing the Bitcoiners that I know. Bitcoin's immutable properties aside, what makes me really bullish is like our fellow Bitcoiners. That's what makes me super fucking bullish. And it's so, if you know, again, if you're feeling bearish, try to spend some more time with other Bitcoiners, because it can be isolating. Like, when you go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, I'm lucky enough that my wife, Carla, was going down the rabbit hole with me. Right. So we had somebody, because it was during COVID too. So it was already isolating, but at least like we had each other. So that was amazing. And we had the internet, you know, thank goodness. But it can be really isolating if you don't have somebody in the real world to be able to talk to. And like, probably for a lot of us, like a lot of our, let's say, quote normie friends, maybe like we've orange pilled some of them and they're going down the rabbit hole, but like, that's a slow process. It's tough. It's not immediately easy. It's going to take them a while to get them to listen to your Bitcoin podcast. They will eventually, and it'll be very rewarding, but you gotta go and meet some Bitcoiners.
It's just
the best thing you can do for your own sanity. Like, you need to.
I can believe her. I was so isolated and alone for years too. And so, to keep in mind, before I landed this wonderful job, again, become a Bitcoin podcaster, I was working in a Canadian university. So you can't really get more kind of left liberal than that, right? So I was the ANCAP libertarian, eventual Bitcoiner in a Canadian university, and then going through the COVID times as well too. I had fucking no one, and I was miserable there. And it was because of that isolation. It's almost you start to wonder if you're going crazy at times too. I was chain smoking like a motherfucker, because again, it was like, what am I going to do? I'll get my work done for lunch. I'm just going to go smoke, listen to some spaces, and then go back in, because I hated it. And I had no one to bounce ideas off of. I had no one to talk to, no one to share with. And also, there's that, again, Canadian university. I was well aware that if my opinions got out there, that's why I had an anon handle for so long, was that there's a good chance I'd get canned for my actual opinions, right? And I rose through the ranks way higher than I ever should have. And so the first time I went to any sort of Bitcoin event, I remember leaving there and thinking like how energized I was, like how like pumped up I was. But I later realized it wasn't that. It wasn't that I got in there and these people gave me a bunch of energy. I got in there and because of value alignment and understanding, I got to shed all the chains. I was just unrestricted for the first time. Right? I wasn't have to worry about what I was saying or what I was thinking or how it would be received. I could just freely be me. And once I got a taste of that, there was no fucking going back. I was looking for the exits and I was getting out of that job.
Man, that must have been that's quite a hotbed of like, oh, neo-communism. Like, I can only imagine that must have been like stepping out of that and then into the Bitcoin space. Like, that's quite a polar opposite there in terms of vibe, man. And how does it feel?
Oh my God. You have no idea. It's a little bit hard on my wife right now. I'll explain why, in the sense that, I've never worked as hard as I am between the two companies, but I've never been this happy. Like, I was absolutely – and on paper, it was a great job. On paper, it was the like best job. Benefits and vacation and pay and all these things too. But like, I remember talking – I had a good relationship with one of our providers, and I was explaining it to him. It's like, the thing that I need is not money. The thing that I need is just respect and to be able to talk. Like, that was my issue, right? I was just, oh, this just, you know, token libertarian guy. Ignore his points and never give him any – don't give him more responsibility. It was the best thing I did for myself. And actually, I heard Ray Dalio talking about this on a podcast. And if you're young, this is particularly good advice. Don't follow the money. Follow the people you want to work with, and particularly mentor under. That'll be the biggest ROI in terms of your career path. And I 100% agree. I have just – like, everything for me has accelerated working with Ben over BT Sessions and him and Mike over Bitcoin Mentor. And I've never been this happy, because I have meaning. I enjoy what I'm doing, right? I don't feel like I'm just wasting time. Fucking hell. Like, I'm sure you're mildly aware, but they literally waste money at the universities. They literally purposely waste money.
No.
Yes, they do. They do, Walker.
I'm shocked.
If you get a grant and you don't spend it all – you will get less money next year. So the only way – and also if you don't spend it, it's not like you get to keep it. And like, it's not like you can save grant money, which is fucking retarded. It means that you have to burn it by the end of the grant in order to get the same or more the next year. And if you don't spend it, you will get less. You don't get to save it or keep it for it. So they would purposely dump money on the dumbest shit. And it was – again, I worked specifically in research, and it's such a – you meet people with a very narrow scope of focus, and they're very brilliant in their one particular field. But if you've everybody should have like a service job or work in the trades. I'm a big believer in that. If you can, when you're young, start getting jobs. There's an important lesson in kind of being bottom of the totem pole and having those kind of – those skill sets and kind of working your way up to. Because I would work with or work for people that had only ever been in academia, never been in like a for-profit company, and trying to communicate or plan with them or even just like the leadership skills is unbelievably frustrating. It's like you guys would die in the free market in a second. You're only here because you're subsidized by the government because you suck their dick.
Yeah. I want to read BTC Dharma in the chat. I'm a tenured psychological science professor who feels similarly outcast. Stop giving a fuck about it. A year ago and preach freely to the libs. BTC Dharma, good for you.
Good for you, man.
You're not alone. That's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about, I think, Bitcoiners generally is like you realize there are other people that are like just as crazy, and like a lot of them are even crazier than you are. Like you thought you were hardcore. It's like you go around Bitcoin and you're like, fuck, I need to step up my game. I'm kind of a little bitch right now. Like, you know, but like it is an incredibly it's a freeing thing, I think. And that's the beauty of Bitcoin generally, is like that it gives you the option to like it's fuck you money. Like you don't even need to have billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin for Bitcoin to be fuck you money. Like Bitcoin just is fuck you money, right? And because it's the first form of money they can't fuck with. They can't fuck with it. No, they can't take it from you, and they can't debase it. And that's everything. That's everything. Because even a little bit of it gives you more freedom than a giant stack of fiat. And that's a beautiful thing, right? That's that, like the optionality that Bitcoin gives people, and that Bitcoin gives people over time too, because your optionality only increases. And that's kind of the incredible thing, is like, I'm very excited to see something I've talked with American Huddle and Eric Kaysen about extensively, because I'll have them on for just like regular rips together, because I just love getting the two of those guys together and bouncing ideas around.
Huddle is my spirit animal. I love him.
Dude, they're just awesome dudes. Like, just like respect the hell out of those guys. And one thing we've talked about a lot is just this idea, and HODL breaks it down more eloquently than I ever could, but it's like, yeah, Bitcoin's going to go to millions of dollars a coin. And then what? Like, what are you going to do? Like, yes. Because we are going to be the capital allocators of the new world order, and not like the new world order, you know, but like, you know, the real, you know, the orange world order.
Like, actually impressive elites.
Yeah, exactly. Like elite in a good way, right?
Yep.
In the way that it actually literally means, not in the way that it's come to mean. But like, what are you going to do? And I'm excited to see what Bitcoiners do, because we're going to have an incredible amount of economic energy. We have low time preferences. We generally, the Bitcoiners who are around now, generally want to either have or want to build families, to build legacy within those families, to build strong families. A lot of homeschooling.
I'm watching them sleep right now.
Amazing. Like, yeah, I love it. And we should wrap soon, because both of us should probably, get to bed at some point soon. But I'll leave it with this, is just that, like, if you're okay, we're sitting right now, we've been hovering right now at, you know, around 96,000. I don't know how much it is in Canadian moose knuckles. But
find out, it's probably pretty bad.
Yeah. But
like, 134.8.
Wow, it sounds so nice in Canadian moose.
It's still above 100K, guys. What the fuck are you talking about?
There you go. Yeah, man, how can you be bearish? Because that's the thing. Like, man, you want to be really bullish. Look at the price in Turkish lira. Like, it's nuts. And I have a lot of Turkish friends who are very happy they own Bitcoin, understandably so. But, like, there's just no reason to be bearish right now. There's an opportunity right now, because when other people are really bearish, personally, that's when I'm the most bullish. It's like, that's when there's an information asymmetry. That is when, if you understand Bitcoin, you really understand Bitcoin, you've really thought about the game theory of this, you've really thought about what is going to happen in the coming decades, right? And you're thinking about this long term, you're thinking about it in terms of not just yourself, but outside of yourself, your family, right? The future generations. If you are thinking in that time scale, you need to look at this as a generational opportunity. And that's not to say that it may not. It's like Bitcoin is volatile, but it's volatile up and to the right with some, you know, it's going to dip. It's taking a little dip right now. Dips are meant for buying, right? There's always going to be more dollars. There's never going to be more than 21 million Bitcoin. There's always going to be more Canadian moose shekels and Turkish lira and pesos, and whether they be Argentinian or Mexican or whatever, there's just 21 million Bitcoin. That's it. And boy, if you understand that right now, you are in a very, very small and privileged minority, and you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity right now, but it's up to you to take it. Nobody can, you know, you can, like the orange pill must be taken willingly, right? And if you've already taken it willingly, you're in the small minority. But realize that, like, eventually more people will wake up out of necessity. But right now, most of them are still asleep. But that's your opportunity. Take it.
I agree. I really like that. There's something that you kind of like hit on there from Hoddle's point that I thought was actually very beautiful. It's this idea that, like, this is your opportunity to stack more Bitcoin. And the next thing that you should do is not figure out what you're going to buy when it's $1 million or multiple millions of dollars, but figure out what you're going to do. That is incredibly profound. It gives you the chance to actually dictate the terms of your life. Because if you're stacking sats right now, you will get to have the life that you want. So what do you want? What do you want to do? Where are you going to contribute? What's meaningful and important to you?
Amen to that. Nathan, I'm glad you jumped on here, man. I was not expecting
that. Yeah, me too.
If I was just ranting solo this whole time, it would have been way more boring. You know, at least for me. Maybe, I don't know if it would have been better or worse for the crowd out there. But I'm glad we got a chance to do this, man. Folks should check out your show as well. I mean, most folks are probably following BTC Sessions already, but you've got a fantastic show on there. I don't know. And if you're listening to this right now, if you're one of these people who is up late at night right now, at 1 a.m. or whatever time it is for you listening to this, maybe start your own Bitcoin podcast. Like, I know we'll both come on your show. I'm sure we'll be happy to. And like, we need more Bitcoin podcasts. Until we have more Bitcoin podcasts than shitty fiat finance podcasts, we're still lacking in Bitcoin podcasts. So consider this your sign to go start your own. And I don't know, man. Glad you jumped on here. This was a good time.
Me too. This is way better than finishing
cleaning. I'm even more bullish
than
I already was at the start of this. Fuck yeah, man.
Damn straight, Walker.
Shall we go be with our sleeping families?
We probably should. But before we do, just a reminder, everybody, go to bitcoinpodcast.net/gear to get that full list of everything you need for the Bitcoin podcast.
Bam. Love it. All right. I'm going to cut this stream, and then we're going to see if we're both uploaded, and then we're going to go to bed. Thank you to everybody who tuned in and listened to this. Stay bullish. Go meet Bitcoiners. Start a Bitcoin podcast. Raise a family. Homeschool your kids. Subvert the state. And have a great night. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone.